Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredible, vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. Hey, welcome everyone. As we are recording this, it is a gorgeous,
beautiful
spring
day.
This is what advertised spring in Milwaukee, a beautiful sunny day.
It is such a beautiful day and a great day for us to have decided to go on to our pilot 4-day work week.
Yes. Pilot is the key word.
Pilot is the keyword.
Because we're still figuring out how to make this work.
Well, especially since we're here working, right?
Yeah. We are actively breaking that. Speaking of what's breaking, as we're heading into the waning weeks of May, is the Badger bounce back plan. Is, if I recall, the news has said 6 out of the 6 gates, 5 have been met. And so it's looking possible that things will be opening. Of course, it was May 26th was the original date. For it to the stay-at-home orders to be lifted, but also progress along the Badger bounce back plan. And then, of course, in the last couple of days, we had the Wisconsin Supreme Court strike down the safer at home orders. So you pretty much have, you know, random municipalities throughout Wisconsin are now throwing their own version of Freaknik or those Ibiza foam parties. not in Sherwood. We are all honoring the distancing right now. So I don't know what it's like down in Bayview, but up here on the North Shore, it's still pretty quiet. Nobody's
seems pretty quiet. There have been a lot of people outside, but it sort of as has been since the quarantine. But I have not been out to a bar, so I don't know. I don't know who's open or not.
I've been off drinking since my fitness thing because I want to keep dropping this weight. So I'm just going to keep leaning on my fitness thing to not.
That's going to save you from Corona. That's right. Yes.
So speaking of bounce backs, you know, are there anything that you're eager to see bounce back or come back to? Should that, you know, our public health situation continue to improve? Again, these are big assumptions, right?
Yeah. You know, I think, these are big assumptions, and I think the thing that I'm probably most looking forward to, if we are able to get back to a place of being somewhat close to normal, is, you know, having written almost 423 checks to many of our artists, I'm just really excited to see a lot of the a lot of the work that I've experienced virtually over the last 8 weeks. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of that work in person, particularly all of the a lot of the bands that I bought a ton of albums over Bandcamp over the last 8 weeks, and these are all incredible bands and singer songwriters, and I'm just so looking forward to having a time when I can get out to the to many of our different venues to experience the great music scene that we have in our city. How about you?
I think this is a ways out, but I really can't wait to go to sporting events and cheer for my team or cheer with other people.
Cheer for the Brewers?
I'm not going to cheer for the Brewers. My Cubs. I've Cubs.
You heard it here first. MacArthur Antigua is not flying the W anymore.
No. That's a lie. I'm still a Cubs fan. Deep Cubs fan. No, I mean, I think I miss being in that environment. And again, I don't know if that'll happen realistically anytime in the near future, given, you know, if games come back, they probably will not be attended. But someday I look forward for us to be able to cheer together. And I know that's something I just felt like I took for granted, you know, being in a group. There's a group experience there of witnessing something together, and hopeful for that to happen sometime soon. Speaking of sometime soon, right, is the notion of, as you were talking about, David, the arts coming back. You know, we've been thinking about here at Imagine MKE Gallery Night. For those that are tuning in, Gallery Night is quarterly here in Milwaukee, and it's an opportunity for artists to show out and for patrons or for people to witness this art and purchase art all throughout the city. And Imagine MKE has been ever since our founding, has tried to be part of this tradition, as well as doing it in our own way, which is bringing it to the areas that we are in partnership with, Amani and Metcalf Park, as well as finding new artists to feature in that. So we are connected to Gallery Night, and we are very committed to it. In fact, in March, when the stay-at-home orders were enforced, we did it virtually because we wanted to keep the tradition going, and had, I think, about 25 artists feature partnered with Outsiders Virtual Reality to put together a virtual gallery where there's about
the first virtual gallery night in the nation.
Let's say the nation. Let's own it. But there's $1,400 worth of art was sold that night, which is awesome. Because again, we want to get money in artists' pockets and getting people look at it. But we're looking in a couple months, and we've been thinking in the office around gallery night and what's that going to look like. And I recognize, you know, this is our way of being in that same conversation that many arts and cultural groups in Milwaukee are thinking about. How are we going to, even though we're an infrastructure org, right, David, this is one of those pieces we actually produce.
I think part of that reason why, right, is that like we have, recognizing that there's a lot of talent, a lot of venues and a lot of artists throughout our city who've not traditionally had access to sort of more of the traditional venues, right? That's why we started producing these gallery nights in Amani, particularly at the Black Historical Society, and also mm-hmm. at libraries during the daytime for folks to engage in the creative talent in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. But so here's the thing, right? For us, I mean, we this last week we talked a little bit about what does gallery night or day or weekend look like in July when it comes around again, and I think to the conversation earlier, I think it's still an unknown as to whether or not there's going to be a high appetite for people to pack into small galleries to look at art if the public health crisis hasn't fully abated, or there's no full vaccine, or there's no deeper understanding about why this virus affects some people and not others, and so on and so forth. And so I think some of our thinking is continuing the tradition of gallery night, I think our thought is, well, you know, what if we do it outside, right? We are becoming known, Milwaukee is becoming known more and more as a city that has incredible murals. And so how do we not only highlight the murals that are in some of our partner neighborhoods, right, that have been painted or developed over the last year through the Summer Sprays partnership. But what happens when Summer Sprays comes this summer, right, in July, over that same weekend? If that's true, like, could we actually create like an outdoor gallery day and night in Amani and Metcalf Park, and also highlight the many other just incredible new murals that have come up, right, in the last few months in the last year?
And again, to pull the camera back a little bit, right, there's this desire to want to, you know, as we think through this, there's this desire to operate because we want artists to get paid. You know, we want people to experience art, and we want our public spaces to be populated, right? That being said, it's got to be against the complexity and lack of clarity around where we're going to collectively be with regards to this curve at that time. And that's the thing about it is like, it's some, you know, you got to plan for it. And it's that nuance of you can't not plan for it, but at the same time, you don't know what you got to plan for. And this is just a small, you know, I'm sure not almost any industry, but arts and culture is experiencing this on many dimensions, right? And so, and we're just talking about gallery night, which has the option of being outside, you know, or at least we're exploring that option of outside, because then you can control spacing. You could perhaps control, you know, circulation of air. Hopefully would be much more amenable for people to be in shared space together. So I think these are ways that we're trying to anticipate, but it, you know, it just seems to get my head around it. It just feels really hard. And I have a lot of empathy, obviously, for all of our fellow organizations, you know, in the city that are trying to think through how they do their seasons, how do they do their mediums right now. I mean, right now dancers can't even hold each other in theory, if I'm in a dance company, right? Like you know, so I mean, I think these are,
you know, you know what I want to know, and this isn't meant to be lighthearted at all, but like, is it just a testing question that like wrestling can happen right now? Like you just made the note that dancers can't touch each other, right? Like,
right, or, but wrestling
performers can't touch each other. But like right. every Wednesday and Thursday or Monday, you know, you're watching wrestling on TV. Like, are they just getting tested? Is that like, is that why that's okay?
Well, you know, of course, this is a wrestling podcast. That's why people tune into this. But my guess, well,
it's a performing art, right?
It's a performing art. Sports. It's sports entertainment, technically. It's not a sport. It's sports entertainment. I would say in those cases, I think they, I find it dubious if they really are testing a lot. I think it's the notion that,
well, we know that wrestling doesn't really take care of its employees.
That, I think that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I try not to put a fine too fine of a point on it. Like, I think it's the kind of thing where those that have enough, clout are sitting out Roman Reigns, because they can, but then those that are need to work are working and, who knows, you know, who knows what it is. But I do think that they're like sequestered there, like,
right,
you know, so, but same thing here. I mean, I think like, gosh, what would the ballet do or what would a dance performance group, they'd have to figure out if they have a set of people that are known clear of it. And then maybe that's, they're allowed to do it. I mean, again, Major League Baseball is trying to figure out how to get everybody at Disney for 80 days, you know, or whatever. And it's just, it's hard to see it.
Yeah.
So, but, it's going to require innovation, right? It's going to require creativity. And I think we can, and it's not just we, I think collectively we were going to figure it out because, you know, I do think arts and culture are going to be part of this recovery. Are they going to be part of, I don't even want to say back to normal, but back to vital, right? Back to together, whatever that is. Cause I won't say normal because that's an attachment to a world that's no longer here, but rather back to the new beginning we're going to create together as a city. It's going to require innovation and creativity. And here's my pivot, David, our next guest totally embodies that sentiment. It's coming up after the break. It's a Milwaukee creative that has gone viral
in the good way.
That's an awful
in
pun.
A good way.
Gone viral through his YouTube videos that have mashed up Dr. Dre and Dr. Seuss. We're going to talk to him about his origin story, what's it like to go viral during the pandemic, and what's it like to win the internet, and how ultimately the city influences his creative practice. After the break, and bring on West.
This one has a little star. This one has a little car. Say, what a lot of fish there are. Yes, some are red and some are blue, some are old.
West, welcome aboard.
Some are sad. What's up?
Thanks so much for taking some time to join us today on this beautiful day.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. Thanks for staying indoors with us for a little bit longer. Thanks for honoring.
I almost took this out in Washington Park, but I figured for sound purposes, I'd stay in the house.
You're an expert.
Probably not a good idea, right? Probably not good. Not great for sound.
Probably not.
This is our
probably
way of doing an alliance, perhaps, with the Evers stay at home.
Like right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
That's our way.
Of course.
West Tank, side note, I've known you for a little while, but I know you as the head of Tank Think, your own shop, if you will, that's production. But I only recently got to know you pretty much like the rest of the world as the person who won the internet in the last month. And again, those that are listening probably have seen it. They've seen you all over the place. Fusing together the poets Theodore Geisel and Dr. Dre. I couldn't remember Dre's real name.
Andre Young.
Thank you, Andre Young. That's my bad. Sorry, sir. Mm-hmm. You fuse those poets together into something new to make life a little more tolerable in these quarantine times. So our first question was, is what is it like to win the internet?
Wow. I mean, that's such a grand way to put it. It's wild, you know. It's been so beautiful to see like the comments that people have been giving, and the positive outpouring of it has been really heartwarming and just like super, super like affirming to me as an artist. And you know, I'm not under any delusions. I know that this is like a very specific time that this happened, and This is a project I've been working on for a long time, but sort of dropped it in such a way that made it look like I was pulling out of my ass a little bit. Being nonchalant about it, because I think that, you know, hip hop's probably best when it looks easy. They didn't see the other 29 takes.
It's kind of like you're an overnight sensation in the sense that this has been overnight for 3 years or 2 years, right? Like, it takes a long time to get to this point, right?
Oh yeah.
The production values are really top notch on your videos too. Like, you're right, it does look easy, but like, I was like, hey, is he in like a NPR like desk performance? I mean, like, it's like, you got that nice background, the sound is really nice, the
view is
good, and everything's like,
it's literally just my dining room, and that's the only place where I can fit bookshelves. Plus I like to read while I eat. I've been rapping and making videos since I was 16, and I'm 36 years old, so that's 20 years, I think. I have my own video production company now, and all my equipment is here, and I'm working on getting a space that's like an actual like production studio / community media center that I'm trying to build out, but for the moment it's all in my house, and like my office is my living room, and you know, my studio is my dining room. And so luckily in quarantine I had all my stuff right here, and things that I you know, I make videos for a lot of different clients, and so all I, you know, and with video and stuff, you have to like keep your gear up, you know, you gotta like stay with the times technologically, and you know, always I'm obsessed with like lenses and cameras and lights and all that good stuff. So it had been a while since I had turned the camera on myself. And I had basically given up rapping for the most part. The last few years since I've been like building this company, I kind of decided I needed to specialize in video because that's where my paychecks were coming from. Hip hop, I got kind of bored of playing shows in bars and just kind of not feeling like I was really suited for that type of life. And also the aging white rapper is not the best look. If you're taking yourself too seriously, it's just like, it's not what I'm trying to be. But in the past few years, there's some certain pockets of people that know about this Dr. Seuss project that I've done for over 5 years.
Yeah.
And I can get into that if you want me to explain how that started.
Do it.
And then I can work my way back to that moment. But like, essentially, I mean, I started like probably like 2014, 2015. I was playing a show in Minneapolis in a basement, a DIY punk show. And I found a copy of One Fish, Two Fish. It was just in the house somewhere, and I happened to have like a bunch of instrumentals on my phone for like freestyles and stuff. And sometimes I would like bust those out in the middle of a set. And I was like, oh, what should I rap? I was like, oh, I should rap this Dr. Seuss book in the middle of the set, like, and just like see what people do. And and I was looking through like for a beat, and I found the Deep Cover beat, Dr. Dre. It's a great song, but had the instrumental on my phone, and I was like, oh, doctor, you can rap anything over Dr. Dre and it's gonna sound good. So yeah. I did it, and the crowd went bananas. It was just like I had not experienced, I mean, like, I've played a lot of shows in my life, but I had not experienced, like, that type of just, like, what is going on? Like, this is amazing. People were, like, freaking out.
And oh, I was, wow.
Like, okay. There's something here. And, you know, like any good stand-up comic, I started testing the material out and started playing different Seuss books and different beats, making combos at shows. And I would just kind of like spice it out at the end of a set so I know it would end it on a good note.
Sure.
It became kind of this thing that I would do. And then eventually this place in Sheboygan called Bookworm Gardens got in touch with me, and they're like a botanical garden that is storybook themed, and they have like installations like a Winnie the Pooh tree and a secret garden and a McGilligan's pool and all of these different like storybook themed installation art there. It's really cool if you've never been. Yeah, it's just like Sheboygan, like an hour north. Yeah. But and they have a fundraiser every year around Halloween called Happily Haunted Gardens. And they asked me to like, hey, can you do a bunch of Dr. Seuss books? And
we want the Seuss stuff. We don't want any of those. Just bring the Seuss. Can you just do the right. Seuss? And you're like,
we don't want your weird indie art rap.
We don't want your reflection on Chechnya or like the, Rwanda, you know, stuff. No. Just give me the Dr. Seuss stuff. And you're like, okay.
Just bring the Seuss. just the Seuss, sir. And so I was like, sure, that sounds good. And, and they paid me to come and play a show. And I did it. And then it was like they wanted more. So So then every year I started doing that, and I was developing it and building the set out more.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's the first or second year I did it. It was like a Vegas residency where I like, they like wanted me to, it's so cute. I mean, it's so funny. It's like tons of like kids and families all get dressed up in Halloween costumes. Wow. And they set it up like a dance club with like laser lights.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Just, it's like, and so then I'm just there. I'm like Dr. Seuss to them, and I just wrap these books, and it's like a nightclub for kids. and it's like this Vegas residency where I'm playing a show every night. You know?
Is it for like an extra $100? Then you have to. They got to take photos with you. Like there's a little meat. There's like a little.
I should do that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Take a photo of Seuss for an extra $50. And
yeah.
Man, so that what year was that? Would you say the first time you did that? Like
I think the first year I did that was in 2015 or 16.
And then they keep having you come back because it popped, and they're like, yeah, we got to bring this guy back and do the thing.
They started bringing me back. And then when I was like, when I left my full-time job as a medical videographer, which is like, no need to go into that, but I left that job to go freelance, and I wanted to focus on video. And so I was like, I took a year off and I didn't do it. And they said that their customers complained.
Oh wow.
And were like, we came here for the Seuss guy. And
He can do the weird indie art rap, just as long as he gives us 15 minutes of Seuss. That's fine.
I mean, this is like the Tiger King, right? I mean, this is like literally like petting like baby tigers, right? Going up to the Sheboygan Botanical Gardens to see you perform. Yeah. This is incredible. I think what's so interesting about this story, right, is that I remember the first time I saw the video at the beginning of the quarantine of you doing the doctor in your dining room, is that it seems so effortless, right? It seems so like, just like, oh yeah, you just put up a camera, just started doing it. And to hear the story behind it of like this 4-year process of like, you know, going through this Vegas like residency where you literally are like the Tiger King, right? Like there's this whole backstory. And then I think even going back to the beginning of it, right, is this sort of like this core idea of like inspiration and serendipity coming together, right?
Yeah.
Sort of, I was reminded of like the first time somebody like put macaroni and cheese together. And
I was gonna say
amazing, right?
You were there, like Mr. Reese was like chocolate and peanut butter and peanut butter and chocolate, and like everyone like went nuts. They lost their mind. They're like, oh my god, this is a thing, and you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the one who
gotta write this down. Everybody, stop! I gotta write this down.
Yeah, that's so incredible.
Yeah, That's a really good way to put it. Because it just feels so natural how they come together and like how multiple books come together. And I've tried it with other authors, and I've been working on stuff with other authors now on different beats and stuff, because I have to like kind of diversify the content a bit. Man, it was just crazy how like Dre's beats sort of build.
They
have that perfect way that they build, and then Seuss's books kind of build in a similar timing.
Yes.
And like the narrative like stakes get bigger each time, and then the mood shifts, and I figured out like, okay, well this sounds like this Dre beat, and then I'll like do a drop into this beat, because like if you go too long on one, it starts to get boring, but then you do like a DJ, you know, flip to it, and then it's like it took a lot of trial and error. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like all like the first one where I just like it was perfect right away.
Right.
But I'm a pretty good encyclopedia of like Dr. Dre's career. And going beyond his albums, like just like he's got a lot of production credits.
Yeah.
And you know, big Snoop Dogg fan growing up, and you know, the whole gangster rap thing. Just that was, you know, because I'm not like I wasn't like a children's book aficionado or anything. Right.
Do you have kids?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, usually you need kids that have even the books in the room. Otherwise, why are they there? Unless you hold on to them, like, or you kept them through the years.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's playing the show in some basement in Minnesota, right? I mean, just happened to run across his book.
Yep. And then I started collecting them after that. Right.
So, but Wes, what really strikes me now that we're in 2020, like, in the sense of like, I'd like to think that we're all kind of over like YouTube clips on some level. Maybe there's TikTok. So I'll show you my experience with it, because like I kind of knew you, and I like it would show up on my feeds. I'm like, oh, that's cute, and I wouldn't click on it, because like, all right, get it, it's Dre. And then like three other people would just like, oh my god, this is great. Fine, at the fifth one, I'm like, fine, I'll click on it, and then I sat there like, this is really good. Like it was. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, and again, I don't know what was in my head, right? Like, obviously, what's the blocker for me, but it's something like I'm so used to seeing content. Like, it really has to be excellent in so many ways. Again, not just the concept, the execution, and your own performances, the voices that you're doing. And that's how it catches fire. And then, like, now you're doing interviews for Australian morning shows. It's like, it is that, like, serendipity, not just for you, but for everyone else in the world at that time. And that's, you can't bottle that. Obviously, right? Like, or else you would have tried to bottle it. Right? I mean, it's just something that's. I'm just struck by, even in this time of oversaturation, one can still create something yourself.
Yeah,
just cut through everything.
Or that there's like this. Obviously, you've tested this for a while, right? The folks in Sheboygan were like, Wes, come do this residency.
Yeah, right? That's a good sign that this is going to play.
That's a good sign, like, this portable. Is working, right?
This could be portable. Yeah. Like,
clearly, putting this online has sort of shown that. Yeah, it works everywhere. Like, everybody loves it, right? It's not just kids.
Right. And I mean, there was the whole, like, maybe in 2017, I recorded a couple of these on audio and tried to post them on SoundCloud, and they got taken down right away because of the Dre beat thing. And I always assumed that that's what would happen on YouTube. But now, like, the technology has come a little further to where, no, you can have it on there. It'll just, you can't monetize it, and any ad revenue is going to get directed to the algorithm that is like picking up that it's a Dre beat.
Sure. Right.
So you can do it. But and a lot of people do it, you know, and I come from like, I like underground hip hop and stuff. And in that culture, it's a lot of like mixtape. Ideology where it's like people just rap on other people's beats, like you know, and that's sort of where I was always coming from, this as like, this isn't really an album, this is kind of a mixtape I'm working on. It was always like I was working on a mixtape, like and the mixtape just like didn't happen, and I was like, well, when I was, you know, when quarantine happened, I kind of like just suddenly I was out picking up trash in Washington Park, and I was kind of like figuring out what am I going to do, because like all my video work had dried up. And it was like, okay, nobody wants me to come and film them now. And and I had been planning work for like 6 months or more than that. And I was just getting to a space where I could do that, like, and not just have to be waiting for like the next person to call, like, can you do this shoot? Like, no, I was like writing proposals and making big budgets for stuff and like,
sweet spot. Like a, this is getting the sweet like spot. Boss. It's like, this is it. I mapped it out. This is it.
And like, just like best laid plans, like, okay, then the whole bottom fell out, and all I can do is just sometimes when I don't know what to do, I just try to find like what's the most immediate like thing that I can do that's gonna kind of feel good, and that was pick up trash for some reason. And because because I would go for walks, I would go walk in the park, and it started, it was like right around that time when the snow had just melted and there's just trash everywhere.
It had been baked in right from the snow, right? The snow covered everything. And now it's finally,
And there's this beautiful lagoon. And like, I was seeing like tires and just tons of Cheeto bags and plastic Walmart bags and whatever. Like, and when I walk to the park and I see a Walmart bag and then like a ton of trash, I'm just like, damn it. Like, I can't
now move on. You can't move on now.
Get that bag and put it in.
You're wired a certain way. You can't do it. You can't do it.
And I just try to make sure I bring gloves with me, or I have like a little grabber now so I can like, and then I reached out to the county parks and they gave me a whole bunch of like huge bags.
They gave you the big, the real bags.
They're like, take that. This is great. We never get calls like this. Yeah. We never get calls like this. What I hear there, Wes, this notion of like, when you're in this moment of despair, almost, you think of how can I be of the most utility in some way, or how can I get to action? And that's really fascinating. How does that connect to your creative practice, or how does that tie into your creative practice? I heard you say you had been a videographer for a medical company. So that suggests that videography has been woven in you, this notion. Can you speak a little about your origin story about, you know, people don't grow up to be medical videographers, nor they come up to be fusion, Dr. Dre, you know, excuse types. Yeah. Right? Tell us about what got, you know, tell us about that, your creative practice and the origin story there.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Dodgeville, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Small town out west of Madison. And my dad is a basketball coach. And so I was
There you go.
Shot comes around.
Really well disciplined. You're very, you know where to be at the right times. And
I was a hard worker, and just like, I shot 1,000 shots a day in the summer and would play. So I kind of developed this, 3-point jump shot and, articulated it, through the years, and, was, recruited by a couple of colleges, but by the time I was a senior, junior, senior in high school, I found film, and I found home recording and rap. And like, I found them sort of at the same time. I took like a video production class, and I was like making I made the highlight video for the basketball team, which I was on. So that was sort of like the,
What was the track used?
I used a Jay-Z song. what the heck song was that? I didn't use Dr. Dre because there was probably no songs that had appropriate language. And I knew I had to do something about that.
Someday. <I'm just> so do you remember what the reaction was when people saw that clip?
My teacher was like, "You have a knack for editing." I remember him saying that. And that was like, "Oh, okay." And then so I got into editing, because at that time I wasn't shooting yet. But then like I started getting into Stanley Kubrick, because I saw Eyes Wide Shut.
There you go.
And it was right when Eyes Wide Shut came out, and I'm not gonna lie, I watched it not for filmic.
There are prurient interests. There are prurient interests. Wes is like, where are the good parts? When am I gonna get to the good parts?
Yep. Yeah, I was interested in it for other reasons, but then I kind of like, I was so enamored by like the camera work. I was just like, what is happening here? Like, there's no explosions, there's nothing, like, and that's, I mean, that it's just, that's a very polarizing movie in some ways, but yeah. There's something about it, and I knew that it was the same guy that made The Shining, and so then I rewatched The Shining, and I started to understand film authorship. I started to make that connection, and it was right at the same time when I was like starting to get behind a camera, and be like, oh, wow. Like, I think what I liked about it was that, like, oh, this is just a movie about people in rooms like talking, and that can be a film,
right? Yeah.
So I guess that sort of changed my trajectory. And a friend of mine was like making music in his parents' kitchen, and he showed me this program called Acid, that's like was a Sonic Foundry. It was a company out of Madison, actually. And they were, you know, it was just like, oh, you can make like rap songs, like you can do this. And so I started writing. I had a breakup with a girlfriend and started writing poetry.
Wes, I'm loving the vulnerability you're showing on this thing, man. There's so many things you shared. We're like, all right.
I know. I definitely am oversharing. So don't be afraid to stop me. So I, you know, it was just kind of like all of this stuff, like in my process of coming of age and like leaving home. And I decided I wanted to go to UW-Milwaukee for film.
Great film school.
One of the best in the country. And especially because they teach you, most film schools make you specialize in like directing or editing or cinematography or something, but they don't do that. They make you like learn every aspect, and they sort of create this certain type of like jack of all trades type independent filmmaker. And that is essentially, you know, launching into the future. That's kind of what like a YouTuber is. Like a YouTuber, like they sort of created.
You're a proto YouTuber. You're a proto before all that stuff.
I'm like, but I was taught by being shown like films by like Stan Brakhage and Yoko Ono and like just like the weirdest stuff you could find, and like, you know, and so I, you know, got into this like super avant-garde type of artistic life, and was really found all these like interesting hip hop artists that were doing really weird stuff like on the West Coast. And and so kind of like got, you know, grew out of gangster rap and grew into just like weird art stuff, and got into Tom Waits and got into John Cage and all that like type of like randomness. And then kind of like started, you know, I've made like tons of albums and tons of songs. I've probably made hundreds of songs. I don't know if I've made a thousand, but maybe I've made like 1,000 songs. I don't know. Like, just if you go, I have 3 different band camps. I've got a SoundCloud, and they all have like different content on them. And
sort of reflecting back to your thought earlier, Wes, about like, you know, how kids now, right, on YouTube or on TikTok are basically like these one people shop filmmakers, right?
Yeah.
I was just I was saying to somebody just the other day that like, so I'm a little bit older than you, but I also went to film school, and a film school that prioritized like, you have to direct your movie, you have to write your movie, you have to edit movies, you do everything, right? But man, like, by the time I graduated in the late 90s, a kid now, by the time they're 18, has shot likely more video than I have, has likely edited and put more stuff online than I have. And it just feels like that kind of like sharpening of like the the skills, right? No matter whether or not they know, right, like what film and the sort of like classic Andre Bazin sense of film as art means, but they've done a lot of stuff, right? They've done a lot of, they've created a lot of like content that for better or for worse is something, right? Right? And I'd be curious to hear what your take is on that, right? Like all these kids who are just like putting all of this incredible volume of stuff on YouTube, on TikTok, on all of the other places.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, media literacy is really important to me. Mm. And I think that, and I teach video to groups like Running Rebels and Artists Working in Education.
Yeah.
I've gone into schools and taught video workshops. And yeah, that's like it's definitely a concern to me in the way that like, it's just given to them without any like instructions on how to do right. it other than like what other people are doing.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing because like you know, it's great to just get a camera in somebody's hands and see what they do with it sometimes. And I think that like you were saying, there's like such an oversaturation of media. I think that like there just needs to be more education about it. Like I want to work with kids. I want to mentor because like there's something about like you can have your phone at your face all day, but like what about your surroundings, you know? Right. What's the combination of yourself and your surroundings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does it mean when you cut together a shot of a bone flying through the air with a spaceship at right after that, you know? Right, what I mean, like yeah. what does a juxtaposition say, and how can you create meaning between
yeah.
cutting two images together to create one, or what does audio do? You know, like I think, like you can have crappy video and really nice audio, and like that can make it way more professional sound yeah. seeming. Like mm-hmm. you can do a lot with if you just have good audio. And I don't think a lot of kids necessarily know that. I think people are just kind of like going out and doing whatever, and that's fine. And like I think things like TikTok are awesome. I don't use TikTok myself because I can't handle another app on my phone. But
Shakes Fist at Cloud, less than Shakes Fist at Cloud, pretty much.
Yeah, I wanna like hire a intern, like a student to like just run a TikTok for me
because yeah.
I feel like I need one to be relevant or something.
Here's the thing, Wes. I love it, but every time I'm on it, I mean, I don't make any videos. I just watch what people are making. I literally, like, time disappears, which is not good, right? Like, I start watching at, like, 7 o'clock, and suddenly it's, like, 11:45, right? And I'm, like, it's past yeah. my bedtime. And I also feel like my brain is melting, right? I literally feel like my brain is melting, despite the fact that I can't put it down. It's
yeah.
incredibly addictive in that way.
Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe I should get to know it. I mean, not that that makes me want to watch it, but it makes me, you know, for the next time I do a class or something, it's probably good to.
I mean, odds are the young people you're working with are on that platform, right? Or that's how they take in media. So it is something mm-hmm. about getting aware of that. So I want to just get a sense of, you went to UWM and stayed in Milwaukee since? You stayed in yeah. town, or did you go out and about, or is it?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in LA, but I've always lived here, you know, because I think Milwaukee is a great place to make art because it's sort of cheap to live here. Like it's you know, you can find an apartment for under $700 here. Like it's possible, and that's not the case in a lot of the big artistic mm-hmm. cities, like, you know, or a lot of the big places that have awesome distribution systems like Los mm-hmm. Angeles. And so it's a great place, you know, but it's also a great place where it's hard to get your stuff out of here too. Mm-hmm. So it can be, that's where the flip side is. I think it can be tough, but then again, I've been doing this for 20 years and not having like national or global success. And then now I just did it all from the quarantine, from my,
right,
my dining room. So I don't know. And now people from LA and New York and France and Australia, yeah, and South Africa and Nigeria are calling me up. Like people like just want to, they all are connecting with me and, yeah, stuff. And so I've had to just kind of like completely change my lens on how I see my work because of how people are responding to it. And that doesn't mean my work changes necessarily, but just the way I perceive audience. Because before it was all local. Like I always saw my audience as like local, and that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. Even like my video production company, like I really like to help a lot of the local cultural ecosystems and stuff. So I'm always making music videos for my friends and people that, artists I believe in, you know, and working with the local nonprofits and working with different government agencies and social justice activism, stuff like that. Like I really believe in all that stuff, but what I found is that through my performance I can further the mission of Tank Think through performance on a global level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, so I can perform and just be me, and like I'm helping people around the world. I mean, not to have delusions of grandeur about it, but just like when I sit and read the comments at the end of the night, sometimes I'm just like, okay, let's make sure there's nothing, yeah, I have to delete on here that's like somebody said something racist or something like, yeah, that. Like I go through and I'm more just concerned about kids looking at it.
Yeah.
Cause I made it available for comments because I wanted to have that connection,
yeah,
with people.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to be able to talk about it. And I was afraid people were going to troll me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some have, but sure, it's been overwhelmingly positive. Like for YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's if you scroll down those comments, it's just like, wow, okay, so many, like it crosses age, it crosses,
yeah,
culture. It's just like, it's wild. Like being famous or something has not been my goal ever. It's just to like connect with people and like to make stuff that like,
yeah,
it's creating a dialogue, it's creating a connection. And you know, it's funny when you post videos of yourself rapping, and rap is like kind of an ego driven art form sometimes. And there's a lot of competition about who's the best and what's, and I'm just like, yo, I'm not trying to say I'm the best at rapping Dr. Zeus here. Like why would I care? Like, and so, but some people get really protective and they're like, oh, look, I did this first, or, you know, who did this first? And I'm so tempted to be like, I've been doing this for 5 years, you know?
Like, yeah, you don't know.
So, like, I'm like, oh, that video's 2017. Okay. I've been doing this a lot longer than that. but I stay out of that. And I am like, I'm happy that, you know, it's not like it's my words. It's like,
yeah,
I'm taking Dre's beats and Seuss's words and I'm mashing it up, and it's a collage, so, and anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. You know,
that's awesome. That's like the downside, right? Of winning the internet is like, you have to deal with the trolls and also like trying to figure out how you not read the comments, cause you don't want to like engage. Right?
The best one is, well, there's some, I've been screen capping a lot of things because I'm going to just make a scrapbook. I'm going to print them all out and put it in a scrapbook, I think. But like, cause this all feels just like Cinderella. It's all going to like turn back into a pumpkin at some point. But the best is somebody made some reaction videos to them.
Oh,
wow.
And he's like, this guy just like, he does not like it. He's just upset. And he does it too, and he raps Dr. Seuss too. And I'm like, okay, we can both do it. And but the best part is he's watching it, and he's just like, man, I have to give this a 3 out of 10. And at the end, and his daughter is like right behind him, and the whole time she's just like so engaged and she's so into it. And then and she's like, I give it a 9 out of 10. Wow. Oh, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, these are my people.
Ball don't lie. Ball don't lie.
I was joking before, but this is like Tiger King. I mean, you have the other like Seuss rappers like being like, man, this Wes, he's fake, man. We gotta get rid of this dude.
Yeah. I mean, and the more views you get, the more people are a little jealous, maybe, or that's okay. It's like I understand. Like I've been jealous before too, and it's like as long as you're like, you know yourself and you believe in what you're doing, like it's okay. If people don't like it too.
Yeah. You know? But it's it's reacting to that notion of like, this thing was so big that it got to have backlash, right? You had so many people that love it. Then you're going to have people naturally like, well, I'm not going to love it because you love it. And that's amazing just to get to that point where it has its own little cottage industry of like feels about it. Because like,
it's funny though to see people kind of like come around to it as they watch the different videos. Because when you in the back end of like YouTube, it's called YouTube Studio, you can look and you see all the different comments across your page.
Oh, right.
And I can just look at them down like this, and I'll see the same person comments on this one. And they're just like, no, it's whack. Then they're like, this one's all right. Something's up with this one. Like, this, and then they're just like, okay, I love it. Like by the end, I've won them over. So that's funny to see. But you know, I'm used to having like it being MC 211 views out here.
Yeah. So
this is all just like,
this is gravy.
You know, it's all gravy to me for sure.
That's awesome. Today is gone. Today was fun. Tomorrow is another one. Every day from here to there. So I don't know if you know, Wes, but Mac and I have a great power on this show, and that is that we can make our guests the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee. And I know you sort of like put out a lot of stuff out there just now about like how people interact with, you know, online content, or how distribution networks are in Milwaukee, or how we might be able to support kids. So here's the thing. As arts and culture czar, you can proclaim whatever you want and it'll be law. But the only thing is that this power only lasts for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it goes away.
It goes away.
Wow. So your 2 minutes, Wes, starts now.
No one man should have this much power.
It is daunting. We recognize.
spread your privilege out. Like, give it up. Like, help other people. You know, help who helped you. Mm-hmm. You know, believe in each other. I think, you know, we can help all the boats rise by, you know, helping each other out. And all that jealousy stuff, it's like ego. And just know that like, if you help someone else, then that's going to help your work. Mm. And eventually it's going to come back around. Mm-hmm. So I think, if I had to be the culture czar, I would say like, let's collaborate, you know, and let's figure out, you know, let's figure out how to create an ecosystem that supports the art, rather than let's create stars or let's create like celebrities. Let's create a really big system that like, where we can all survive making art and being creative. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal. That's my goal. And let's not just do it within our bubbles. Let's not do it within our scenes necessarily. Like, let's do it within our scenes and get our people together, but then let's empower the other people that like maybe don't always have access to the same materials that you do, or the same network, you know, like spread out the network, grow the network, grow make the art better. Like, let's, you know, it's not just doing it. Like, we got to make it like fucking dope.
Wes, it was a glorious rain. And even though that the rain ends, our job, Dave and I, Imagine MK, and our team's job is to build off that legacy and build. I think we share with you a desire to have a rich ecosystem where many can access and create. And I, and again, we're naming it. A city like Milwaukee's got a history about that. Not everybody's had access and has been allowed in certain circles. And what I'm hearing you say is, what would it mean to really make that accessible, right? And again, like the kids you're hanging with at Running Rebels or in the different, you know, when you're through AWE, what do they see? What's their story that they get to tell? And wouldn't that be awesome if it was part of the Milwaukee story as well? What that means. So we're going to work on that. We're not going to get overnight, Wes, but I don't know, maybe in 4 or 5 years, we'll break big with a viral video and it'll.
Well, it seems like you guys are making a lot of strides with what you're doing. So like, I commend you for sure.
Wes, where can they find you? It sounds dumb to say after this time, where can they find you? But where, besides
where the
that,
whole globe is able to find him.
Yeah, but where else can folks find you?
I'm in the Heights. catch me at the park.
Bring your own grabber.
My YouTube page is youtube.com/West Tank Story Wraps.
Okay.
My website is tankthink.org.
Got it.
Social media at Wes_tank. Yeah.
We'll link it
pretty much.
We'll be sure to link it. We play it.
Those are the places. Yeah.
Wes, man, it was so much fun. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Mac, David, thank you so much. Appreciate
you. Thank you, man.
All right. Keep making it. Keep doing the work.
Peace.
Wow, that was so cool. You know, I was struck while Wes was talking that, like, I was struck by his big-heartedness and his, like, sense of, like, I think we all need a friend like him, right? Who's just, like, big-hearted, generous, and also an incredibly skilled basketball player who raps really, really cool, right? I mean, he was also internationally known and famous, right? Like, you all need a friend like him.
He contains multitudes. I was really struck by when he was talking about if he was the czar, he didn't have a lot of rules and policies, but he had a desire that I think is actually much more important to have, right? An orientation towards, gosh, what will it take for us to get past ego and figure out how to share and work together and collaborate better? And man, that's great. And again, he's a guy who has a platform already, and I'm excited to see how he continues to use his platform. He actually just released, he shared on his, he helped produce a video of one of the young people from the Running Rebels program did a song.
Oh, wow.
And I think he helped direct it, right? And he was sharing it. And I think that to me is like, it's an action. It's like his, he keeps walking it. He walks his talk, and we're really lucky as a city to have him.
That is the example of joyful abundance, right? That there's enough to go around for everybody. And when you get to a certain point that it is your responsibility to share that out with more and more people. And I was also surprised that the Dr. Seuss rapping community is about as cutthroat as any other community out there.
Yeah. That feels like a whole like cosplay scene I totally don't want to get into. That being said, you know what I want to get into? You coming back next week and listening to us again, or you coming back and letting us know what you think. And the way you can do that is by emailing us at pod@imaginemke.org. Let us know what you think, or share a review on the platforms you're listening to. Rate it 5 stars. Help people find us and be part of this Milwaukee arts and culture conversation.
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at @imagine_MKE or Facebook at @imagine_MKE. You should also subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, all of them. Mention the pod on social media and we will make you a #imaginary friend. This one got on the news.
Catch you on the flip side, guys.
Peace.